Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And we're talking here about whether or not children are blank slates waiting to be programmed by whatever adults or television or satanic media influences are in their lives, or whether or not children can have personalities of their own. But before we get that, I want to get your attention. All freedom lovers, do you think that people should have the right to govern themselves? Well, if you don't, I'm confused why you're still listening to us 2 hours into the show. But hey, maybe you just like listening to us talk about stuff. But if you do believe that people should be able to govern themselves, you'll want to check out the Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference, which is taking place in Prague from October the 14th through the 15th. It's the best place to learn about free cities, which are self-governing territories that uphold individual rights and freedoms. Well, and that's the interesting thing. Some of them do. But if you want to start your free private city or whatever, and you want to be a dictator there, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. And that's completely in line with some of these things, right? That where if you wanted to live under this dictatorship, you could do that, right? But no one is forcing you to do it. It's free in that sense. And that's a wonderful thing. Representatives from projects in the U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway will be joining. So check it out. Our own Mark is going to be speaking at the conference. And last year he was there, and he called the gathering the most likely to create more human freedom. Visit libertyinourlifetime.org to find out more. You've got to remember, though, Mark is pretty jaded on the Free State Project.
I love that. He was just like, you got to add this into the ad.
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, I said that, but I think he's wrong. I think that the Free State Project is the most likely to, you know, achieve Liberty in Our Lifetime. Again, fight me, Mark. libertyinourlifetime.org, though, because they are doing good things, and there are places where you may be able to, I guess it depends on what you mean by free, but you may be able to secure more freedom for yourself in your lifetime by going to libertyinourlifetime.org. Use code FTL for 10% off on discount, 10% discount on tickets. That's FTL and libertyinourlifetime.org. Let's go to the phones, though. We have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I fear your wishes will not come to fruition during your lifetime, but perchance, if any of you have children, perhaps during their lifetime, that might come to fruition.
Yeah, my general perspective on this is that human beings won't achieve any sort of libertarian society until we're colonizing other planets, at which point we can do the Free State Project, but there won't already be a state there.
A Free State Planet.
Yeah, that's the only hope I see for there being a future free human society. Because at that point as well, if we tried to do that here on Earth and one of these free private cities was actually successful and was successful in getting all of the gold and all of the money brought in, it would just be a matter of time before the U.S. government or the Soviet Union or Russia or China or whatever was like, hey, they have a lot of money and they have no defenses. They don't even have a military. That's our stuff now. But when you have...
You're most definitely grasping for straws. We cannot move freedom from Earth to Mars or Jupiter or...
Why not?
You just have... You are just, like, limiting Arya's imagination. It's just a thought. It's just an idea right now.
Isn't Elon Musk already trying to take folks to Mars?
Humans will absolutely explore other planets.
Yeah, haven't you seen Star Trek?
No. Imagination and reality are totally separate, and you have to be able
reality
to discern...
Reality starts in the imagination. Sorry, I did cut you off, but it's just a fact.
It starts in the imagination, but that doesn't mean it comes to fruition, just like the New Hampshire Project.
Absolutely does mean that it comes to fruition. The first person that invented a chair, he thought, I want a thing to do kind of like this. I'm imagining a thing that's shaped like this, and then I can sit on it to do my work instead of blah, blah, blah. And then he made it happen based on what his imagination came up with. And that's how everything on this planet works.
Major, people told the Wright brothers they would never fly. People were saying it's going to be centuries more before people fly. They told Christopher Columbus he was crazy. They told Ferdinand Magellan that he was going to sell off the end of the Earth. There's a long history of people saying, hey, we're going to do this. But I got to tell you, man, humans will absolutely explore other planets. That's a certainty. If human beings don't wipe ourselves out or get wiped out by AI or something, that is, as long as humans survive, other planets will be colonized.
I really, really don't want to go to another planet. Like, if that's one of my biggest fears, I have dreams that I'm, like, in space, and then I just wake up. Because I'm like, oh, my God, wait, I'm not on Earth? And then I start freaking out. Anyways, but I still think that you might be right.
Major, do you believe humans have been to the moon?
Well, from the pictures I've seen, I was alive during the moon launches and whatnot, so I think I'd have to say yes.
So you accept that humans can get to the moon, but not Mars?
Well, I don't know if they can get there or not, but survival and getting there is two different things. How many men went across the Mississippi and up into the mountains to gain their fortune and got their hair raised and their hearts ate by the
Indians? Certainly. Certainly, no one's saying it's going to be easy to colonize these other planets. I didn't mean to suggest that at all.
And she never said that she already knows how it's going to happen. It's like every new thing that gets taken on, it's going to be a lot of trial and error and trying to figure out scientifically how we do a thing.
All I said to spark this whole damn thing was it was doubtful. Okay? And now I'm going to stick with that one. But I got a feel-good story for you. This is right here in Alpena Township. This probably happened a week or two ago as mushroom season just ended, which you'll understand here in a minute if you let me tell the tale. Well, it seems this mother took, when the boy was 8 years old, and I think I know the store that this happened to, the Big Lots. They used to buy going out of business and overstocks and whatnot, and they were going out of business just by the time this kid would have been 8 years old. So his mother bought him a slingshot for $3. And, of course, he went out in the backyard and played with it. But this isn't a slingshot like you're thinking of, just a forked stick with a couple of pieces of inner tube and a leather pouch. They've progressed quite a way. They got what they call wrist rockets. It's got an arm brace where it steadies and stabilizes it, right?
I think so. I may have seen one of these at some point.
It's damn near as accurate as a bow. Actually, they do sell a transition kit where you can put a little crotch across it and shoot arrows out of it. But that's a whole other game. Anyway, so this kid, he comes home, and he's about 13 now, right? And his little sister's about 8 years old. And evidently, they got a real long backyard, and it kind of rolls down into the woods. Well, she's out there looking for morel mushrooms. And the kid plops down, and they just both got off the school bus, and both parents are still at work, right? And he puts on Call of Duty, which I'm sure sharpened his eye to what he had to do here, I'm going to tell you about.
Here, man, can you move on with this story?
He hears this blood-curdling scream out of the backyard, and he's like, she must be out there playing with one of her friends. And then he thinks, no, that was too damn loud. So he gets up. And some 17-year-old kid has got this little 8-year-old sister around the waist, picking her up, covering her mouth with the other hand, trying to make for the woods.
Oh, my God.
Well, he went for the only weapon he had, which was that slingshot. And so he runs to an open window where he can see it and snatches a marble off of his daddy's desk. And at 200 feet, hits this kid right between the eyes.
That's pretty cool.
Stuns him bad. Yeah, I'm a serious bow hunter, and I would not take that shot with my bow. I mean, I could probably make it.
I suspect it's been exaggerated a bit.
I forgot that he had said it was going to be a feel-good story, and I thought he was going to say, then the guy went in the backyard and started playing with a slingshot and hit the little girl in the woods. Oh, my God. Anyways, that was long.
Right.
Long story,
so anyway,
but pretty cool.
Bonnie, would you please stop now?
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Major. You said
I can't
cool story.
Comment on the story?
Bonnie,
it was over.
So much hate.
I don't even understand that one. Like, dude, we let you tell this painfully long story.
It would have taken me 25 seconds to tell that story. And it took him like 2 minutes.
Yeah, like three sentences at the most. So this kid bought a slingshot and then someone tried to assault
his
sister.
Why is it mentioned that the mom bought it?
I don't know, man. Or
just
why
he had
mention
it.
Big Lots?
Who cares? Yeah. Talk about Big Lots. Yeah.
I love Big Lots.
It wasn't a bad story, to be fair. I mean, we let you finish it because it was good and you told it in a pretty good way. But we didn't let you speak. And the moment Bonnie said something back, you got upset. Thank you for the call tonight, man. Last time that happened, he ended up dropping an F-bomb or something.
Our callers are just too entitled when they can easily start a podcast themselves. Not every one of them, obviously. Every caller isn't that way. But there are too many, like 4 or 5, that are like, you have to let me talk for 30 minutes. And not reply.
It's so funny because on any other radio show, like, you would never be able to call in every night.
Yeah.
Like, these people on other radio shows, like, rarely, like, there's a pretty strict screening process sometimes. Like, it's very rare to even get on the radio. So the fact that we're, like, you know, presenting
really
this platform.
Giving you two and a half minutes to tell a story.
But that's why, you know, you give people an inch and they take a mile, and next thing you know, we have multiple callers verbally assaulting Bonnie on the radio.
I don't even understand. I guess it's because your voice sounds so sweet and nice, and like, how dare this sweet, nice person speak when I was speaking? But like, I mean, I don't know how much more monologuing we could allow someone to do. Like, we let him just keep going. Yeah. I was over here making the let's go gesture, right? Like, let's go. That was a very long story. And again, it wasn't bad, but like...
Could have been told faster.
It could have been told faster, and we didn't interrupt you at any point during it. And then as soon as Bonnie spoke, I don't know, man, it's bizarre. But let's keep going with the phone. Someone who does not take it for granted, someone who's actually really respectful, probably more respectful to us than we have been to her in the past, Sarah on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, I just don't want to call in to just blabber. I mean, I have a purpose behind my calls. I, like, the purpose of the National DOT, Department of Transportation, now is it required or mandatory? They decided all the automatic sensor brakes in the front of the back will be like a seatbelt. I mean, they were working on it.
Hold on, what?
And so... So I think it became a law. You know what I mean?
Were
so
they putting seatbelts on brakes? I didn't follow that.
No. The automatic brakes that I was talking about, you know? So it's going to be
what
required.
Automatic brakes? Like in the newer cars that will automatically brake if they see like a child running in the street or whatever?
Right. It's for the high-end cars. People that are, I think people that have luxury cars, they have these auto sensor brakes.
Yeah, some
now
of them do.
I don't trust them.
Yeah. I don't trust them either, and I think there's like room for error here, like there is with any technology. And what I would be afraid of is people relying on those too much, so like they see something run out in front of their car, and instead of hitting the brakes, they're like, oh, my car will just brake for me, because they're so used to their car braking for them. And then eventually they might not, you know, this could cause... I don't know. I just think...
People definitely rely on the technology that comes out for cars, because one time I was backing up, and I was, like, backing out right, and this other car was behind me backing out right as well, and neither one of us saw each other, even though I swear, like, I looked. I just didn't see the car, and they didn't see me, and we bumped into each other. We got out. My friend was like, you should have never got out. You should have just left. But anyway,
because you were using backup cameras?
No, I didn't have a backup camera, and when I got out and I was talking to these old people, they were like, don't you have backup cameras? And I was like, no. And they're like, well, we have backup cameras.
Well, they didn't do you any good,
did
they?
Exactly. They didn't do them any good. And second of all, it's like, okay, wait, were you not looking, just relying on your backup camera?
There's a lot you can't see. Like, there are a lot of blind spots in the backup camera, you know, and I don't get me wrong. Like, there are some, like, it makes parallel parking easier, but you should be able to drive your car without all of this technology.
And luckily, they didn't, like, call the cops or anything. Both our cars looked basically fine. We moved on.
That's why I like my Eclipse, man. It doesn't have any of that stuff. It is a bit of a pain to back out when the top is up because it's a cloth top, and it basically gives me a back window that's like 2 feet wide and that's 6 inches tall. So very bad. Go ahead, Sarah.
It's not going to be just a backup camera. It's going to be an automatic sensor. They just don't alert you and show you a picture. It will automatically stop
you. Yeah, but they don't always work.
And
that's the problem.
That's the dangerous thing. It's a breaking a cyst. It's not breaking for you, right? It still counts on the human being there. But it, exactly as Nikki points out, technology that only works some of the time is useless because people are going to become reliant on it. And it's not going to work.
Also, there are some situations while you're driving a car or on a motorcycle or whatever, like on the road, where it would be safer to try to, like, where, like, gas in going a different way is safer than braking. So, like, sometimes in, like, certain circumstances, it might be more useful to use the gas rather than the brake. But if I don't have the choice to use my gas and my car is braking for me, that could, and obviously, like, that's a very slim, like, typically that's not the thing.
That's a really good point.
I still want to be in control of my vehicle.
If someone pulls in front of you and you're going to rear end them and you know that you're not going to be able to brake in time, the smart move there is to turn the wheel off to the side and to go around them. Even if you end up, you know, partially on the shoulder or whatever, that's the smart move to make. But one of these automatic braking systems, you're like, no, we're going to go for it, and then you plow into the back of them.
Okay, so it's already decided. The DOT have decided this is going to be law and it's going to be implemented. So you could argue all you want and try to fight it, but it's going to happen.
This is
no,
federal.
I can drive a 20-year-old car like I do right now that doesn't have that crap in it.
I don't know that would be. I don't know how legal that would be.
It's completely.
They're not making 20-year-old cars illegal, Sarah.
They can't force me to buy like a 2023 car. I'm allowed to have my 2010 Subaru.
Well, all the new cars will have this technology. If you want to install them, they could put it in. So
they're not touching my car with this crap.
Federal government's going to install these things in everyone's car.
I could uninstall if I wanted to buy a new car.
True.
Like I could uninstall that from my car.
Yeah, a little spray paint will take care of that.
Yeah,
you don't even have to uninstall it. Just spray paint over the camera, and it's done. It may not ever drive again because it may think there's something in front of it, but it's, that I would just recommend not trusting this crap, not buying it. And, you know, I love technology, but because of that, I'm very fearful of technology, right? You don't find very many tech people who have Amazon Alexas in their house and smart fridges and smart thermostats and all this other crap. That's stuff that non-tech people are doing. I've got a printer that is like from 1996. And that's it.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't scan. It doesn't fax. It doesn't do any of that crap. All it does is print.
And it probably always works.
It always works, yes. But I did, at one point, had one of those all-in-ones. And it only worked about 30% of the time. It would stay there connected via network. And nothing ever went down. Nothing ever changed. If going to print, only 1 in 3 times would it print. But this one, rock solid. And if it ever makes a noise that I don't expect, I'm going to grab a hammer and I'm going to take it outside and I'm going to beat it to death because that's what technology does. I don't have a smart thermostat. I have friends who are like, oh, I'm going home and it's a little chilly now. I guess I should turn up my heat. I'm like, or you can just be cold for 10 extra minutes and not have the potential for strangers to hack into your house and turn off your heat, right? And I realize that's unlikely, and who are you, but like, why even have that vulnerability if it's not necessary? Why have the ability to tweet from your fridge if it also means that some stranger on the internet can tell your fridge to turn itself off and spoil all your groceries? It's
people
silly.
People are crazy about convenience nowadays. Like, I watch these people on Snapchat a lot. I don't know why. They're like dumb girls, but their lives interest me. Anyways,
okay.
And this one, she was in Amsterdam, and she was like, why don't we have this in America? And it was this stupid store where you could buy like what looked like gas station level food from vending machines, and it was like you just go into this open air 3-walled place and you can get anything from a vending machine. It's like, really? You can't wait 10 minutes for someone to make food? You need to eat this like prepackaged, probably
disgusting.
Terrible, disgusting food because it's not convenient. You just put money in, you get it out like a menu. Why don't we have this in America? I was like,
yeah, they do. I remember like 15 years ago, they had that in the nursing home that my grandmother was
I don't do
and
the vending,
it wasn't good.
I don't do the vending machines, but like it was almost a tradition at one point. Like on the way to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I would stop at a gas station because I didn't want to stop driving to eat, right? It's a 17-hour drive. I would stop at a gas station, get some of those microwavable burgers or whatever, and just eat those. And they're terrible for you, but they're so good, right? And they didn't come in a vending machine, but I imagine they were about the same sort of thing. Except the vending machine may zap it for you and then give it to you hot. I don't know.
Well, there's a purpose for it. Like, sometimes when I'm on the road for work and it's like I, you know, only have a few minutes, sometimes it's nice to be able to go to a Panera Bread or whatever, like some sort of quick restaurant to get some food really quick.
My point is just that there's a theme. Like, people will be like, it's so convenient. You can
it's
get
just
your
lazy,
ticket
though, yeah.
on this app. And, you know, just like it's laziness, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the online ticket things as well. I don't like this online thing because it prevents my ability to control it, right?
Yeah.
And we have the same thing with online video games where I was thinking the other day that if the Nintendo servers ever, like, go down or whatever, then my Switch is going to be mostly useless to me. Sure, it's got some games installed on it, but none of that really is as effective as actually having the cartridge there that I can play anytime I want, and that I can trade with a friend and get their cartridges. None of that exists in the video game world today, and this is by design. That's how the gaming industries want it, because that way they control you. But it's the same thing in music and streaming. I don't buy albums and stuff anymore. I just stream it. And if that streaming service goes down, then I'm just screwed. And it's super convenient, but I know it's bad.
And to be clear, I'm not saying, like, that kind of store shouldn't exist. I would never say that. The market should deliver whatever people want them to deliver and whatnot. It's just that I just think there's this weird trend towards, convenience.
That's one of the few things I like about Audible right now, is that you do buy audiobooks through Audible, and it does download them for you, but it actually downloads them, and they're always there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of useful in that capacity. Maybe it's not as good as having a book, because I have to actually have power for my device, but it's almost as good. The book itself has downloaded to my phone, and I can listen to it any time I want, whether I have internet or not. And that's a good service. I think I prefer that over streaming, but it's just so hard to beat the convenience of streaming.
That's definitely a thing I love about Kindle. So there's the convenience that I love. If I want to read a book and I'm like, whoa, I just found out about this book, it's awesome, I want to read it right then. I don't want to wait 2 weeks for it to deliver to my house.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that a few times. If I'm actively reading something, then I don't mind. But if it's something really fascinating, like the Gospel of Judas that I wanted to read like right then, or the Apocalypse book, I was like, I'm not waiting on this to come here. I mean, how horrible is that? Amazon takes two days to ship me a book.
Yeah.
Nikki convinced me to get a Kindle, and I 100% do not regret it. It's like so great.
It's the best thing I've ever bought in my life. And the thing with the Kindle is I can't afford to buy all these books. So Kindle Unlimited for like $10 or $8 a month, I've already read 40 books this year. You know how much money that would have cost me? I guess I could go to the library, but like, you know, it's easier for me to just, you know, rent these books kind of from the Kindle Unlimited.
I don't believe the library would have like the type of books I'm reading.
They can request stuff from other libraries, but then you're back to waiting a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I did that a lot when I was a kid, because I didn't have books. We just went to the library or whatever. I would request a book that they had at, you know, this other library, and it would take them a week, but they would get it down there, and then we could check it up in there. So it was possible, but I don't know. You're going to have to sell me on Kindles, because I used to have a bunch of audio e-books, but I sort of faded away from that for whatever reason, but I don't know. Maybe it's better. 603, I like audiobooks right now, but I'm doing a lot of driving, and that's super convenient. 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in with us, or sell me on the idea of audiobooks or
Kindle.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The Atlantic hurricane season officially starts Thursday. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is forecasting 12 to 17 named storms, with 5 to 9 of those becoming hurricanes. President Biden says extreme weather conditions, including wildfires, have affected millions of people.
This year alone, wildfires have destroyed an area almost as big as the state of Maryland. Over the past 2 years, a third of Americans have been personally affected by extreme weather conditions.
Nine teenagers have been arrested for the attack on two Marines in San Clemente over Memorial Day weekend in California. Orange County Sheriff's Department spokesperson Mike Woodruff announced the charges Wednesday.
It ranges from assault and battery all the way up to assault with a deadly weapon.
San Clemente Mayor Chris Duncan says five teenagers, four boys and a girl, are facing felony charges. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and there's still time. If you'd like, you can get on the air with us, 603-283-6160. A lot of lively calls tonight. Again, that number, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Mickey, and Bonnie.
And I want to say thank you to Barry Swinson, who is tonight's amplifier. This means that Barry is a member of the AMPS program. That's our Patreon. You can find it at amps.freetalklive.com. That's for advertise, market, promote, and support. So if you like the show, if you value the show, if you like this idea, as Nikki pointed out, of allowing people to call in and have a conversation on a nationally syndicated radio show, which is extraordinarily rare when you think about these people like Rush Limbaugh or any of these others who, like, carefully screen you and you have to agree. He is, but plenty of them aren't. They carefully screen all calls. You have to agree with the host.
Yeah.
Occasionally, they'll let someone in who doesn't agree, but you're going to get cut off and hung up on before you can get even the first sentence. And to have the audacity to call in the show and be like, you let me monologue for 4.5 minutes, but I want it five.
Sometimes we don't even screen them now, especially now that we have longer segments. Because I remember somebody called in, and they were shocked. They were like, wait, I'm on the air right now? You guys didn't even screen me.
Yep. 603-283-6160. If you value the show, if you value that, you might consider joining the AMPS program, as Barry has done. It only costs $5 per month. It's, again, amps.freetalklive.com. It does come with a number of cool little features. But really, if you join, it should be because you value the show and you want to help it be more successful. Speaking of cool little features, we're going to be making a video later that will...
I forgot about this.
It will be initially on the AMPS thing first, right? That's where you'll find it first. Or maybe the takeaway. I'll put it there first, right? That'll be fine. So, amps.freetalklive.com. We're going to make a video. It's going to be really good. You don't want to miss it.
AMPS. It's a reaction video.
It is a reaction video, but the thing that we're reacting to will be absolutely priceless. But you got to amplify us in order to see it.
I don't know if I can wait this next segment.
I know.
You know,
I forgot about it, like she said, and it's just making me, like, smile. It's so retarded.
It's good. I'm curious how the logistics of this are going to work. I'm probably going to use this computer here to record each of the camera inputs, because that's, and then I can mix it later. That's probably the easiest way to do it. So, anyway, amps.freetalklive.com if you want to watch that, because it's going to be really good.
Oh, my God.
It's really good.
I just thought of something I wanted to say on the radio. It's really quick. It's not, I didn't have this show prep, but today Ian's, the prosecution filed why Ian shouldn't be allowed to come to Quirk
Fest. Oh, I saw that. Because he wants to.
And they said all he's trying to do is have a sleepover for 11 days at a party with his friends. And it was just so stupid and retarded. They're calling Quirk Fest and Quirk Fest the thing that Aria specifically got permission to go to after getting sentenced to prison.
Well, I don't specifically have permission to go yet.
Oh.
I never got confirmation on that. I can't imagine it would be denied. One of the reasons I'm not in prison is because the judge wanted me to be out to be able to go to Pork Fest and Fork Fest.
That's what I was saying.
It would be completely crazy for me to be denied permission.
That's crazy. I didn't know that it wasn't a solid thing because the judge said it.
Right, but they haven't specifically said yes yet.
Okay, well,
but I did point out in my request that, hey, the judge specifically said that, you know, this is why I'm not in prison. It's to go to this thing, so.
Either way, it's a thing that Free Talk Live has done for, what, 15 years or something?
Yeah, it's a work event.
And it is a work event. It's a thing that, like, a libertarian in New Hampshire who has a radio show has to go to, has been going to for 15 years, and they're just trying to say that Ian just wants to go have a sleepover for 11 days.
Ian was such an avid outdoorsman. I didn't know he, like, loved camping so much.
He doesn't. He stays in the motel.
I got to say to the prosecutors, because doing Free Talk Live on the show has fallen to me for the last 2 years, and not having Ian there to do it, it multiplies the workload by hundredfold. Like, Ian and I, we could sit down and bang out a show quickly. It's not even a problem. But When I don't have Ian to work with, it makes it like a 6-7 hour affair to record a single episode of the show. Whereas when Ian and I did it like 3 years ago, I think it was the last time we did it, we were a day ahead every single day. Like by the final day, we're like, well, we did today's show yesterday, because it's just easy when you have that much momentum to just keep going. Like,
that is not the case anymore.
No, make my workload easier,
and that's
prosecutors.
The thing about these conditions for release, they're not supposed to be choosing whether or not a radio station is able to continue to broadcast. They're not supposed to be choosing whether if Ian ran a business, whether or not his business was able to continue going. It's not supposed to bankrupt a business. It's not supposed to end a radio show because it's so incredibly hard to do it while being okay with the conditions.
And it will affect Free Talk Live. They may be thinking something along the way, Free Talk Live will still be broadcast every day, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, not necessarily. And I've already explained this to Ian. Like, maybe every other day, but I mean, if Ian and I are there, yeah, absolutely. It will obviously be every day. But without Ian there, no. We're talking maybe every other day from the festival, and that's fundamentally different than what Free Talk Live has done in years past, and that's not good. Like, last year we leaned pretty heavily on Bonnie and Ian. I think it was not quite every other night, but it was fairly close to that, because it's hard to do that level of content for 3 hours a day every single day. So it won't be the same. It is necessary. Free Talk Live does require it. It has required it for years, and it has not been as good because of Ian's absence. So it seems pretty clear to me, and that was, I don't think the judge is going to see that particular argument and be happy about it. I don't think the judge isn't an idiot. I think he knows what Pork Fest is and what Fork Fest is. And characterizing these events as a sleepover with his friends,
it's not what it is at all.
I think it's going to make the judge angry and more inclined to grant it than he otherwise would be.
Plus, the other thing is, they were like, he can go, but he can just commute every day.
I saw that. Dude,
and
it's really?
Like, 3 hours? Like hundreds of
sorry,
dollars.
2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's not.
No, that's not a commute.
And
that's
he has
not
to be
reasonable.
Home by 7 p.m.? Like, it would be wasting half the day. There would be no reason to go for.
No, that's a 5-hour round trip.
Yeah.
Without stopping for gas and food. I mean, that is completely unreasonable.
Yeah. To say nothing of the environmental cost. You want someone to do what to the environment by driving that much every single day? Seriously?
Yeah. Wow.
Aren't you, as the government, supposed to be like trying to make the world better, and here you are literally trying to make it worse?
I just want some clarification. I thought you said that was why the judge said. So this is the prosecution.
Yeah, the judge hasn't ruled.
So okay, that's what... Well, good.
I suspect the judge is going to come down in favor of allowing Ian to go.
Yeah,
I sure
too.
Hope so.
Sisti's motion was a lot more sensical, if that's a word.
I don't think they'll even have a hearing on this one. I just don't. I the way that I would expect this to go, and I don't have very much experience in the federal court system, to be fair, but the way I would expect this to go is the judge is just going to grant Ian's motion. I don't see any reason. I don't think any gain would be had from having a hearing about it. The judge is clear he didn't want Ian to leave the district, but New Hampshire is still the district. So, the only part of this that the prosecutors can even object to is allowing him to stay in a hotel. And it's completely unreasonable to not allow that.
He also already stayed in a hotel for two nights during Liberty Forum before his PO just suddenly started changing her mind, which I think probably came from, higher ups. They're probably like, you can't let him do that, even though she saw no problem with it, and she's a professional at doing this job. She knows Ian's not, a danger to the society.
I don't know. It's all very peculiar. Hopefully, as soon as we have the result, we'll mention it on Free Talk Live that night.
Yeah.
The prosecutors did file their thing today, as we mentioned yesterday. They had 24 hours to respond, and they did do that today. It was very weak. It was very thrown-together motion. And they literally said that, he just wants to have a sleepover with his friends. And that's such a terrible way to characterize ForkFest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival that on that basis alone, I think the judge is going to go, you guys are being ridiculous.
And I'm pretty sure that the judge will rule soon because it's an expedited request. The judge told, I think you probably explained it yesterday, the judge told the prosecution, you must respond in 24 hours, which usually they have 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I, my gut tells me the judge is going to grant it, hopefully within the next day or two. I'm still waiting to hear back about whether or not we're going to Talkers. Bonnie, that's apparently you and I will be the ones going if we decide to, if I get permission to. I asked and I called and texted and stuff today, didn't get a response. So I'm going to try again tomorrow. But with the short notice, I just don't expect I'm going to be given permission because Talkers is this Friday. So that's 2 days from now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't find out about this again until... Yesterday? I think yesterday was when Mark brought it up.
I didn't know.
He was hey, by the way, guys, this is June the 2nd. I have completely neglected the mission. I don't even have my plane ticket, so you guys are going, right? And I can ask. So hopefully, I don't know. It's a drive out to Long Island for a festival where you and I don't even know anyone.
Yeah.
And from an industry perspective standpoint, it would be a good idea. Someone else wanted to call. They called earlier tonight, but they got off the phone. They got off the phone before we got to their call. They wanted to talk about what was going to happen to Free Talk Live in the future with Ian possibly going to prison and me possibly going to prison. Me and Bonnie going to Talkers would be a sensible thing in that context, and the possibility of Ian not being here for a while. I don't know. It wouldn't be terrible to meet people within the industry, but all the way out to Long Island, Mark doesn't seem to have any. Ian has no interest in it.
Well, he can't go.
Right, but he didn't want to go anyway.
No, I think that if he was allowed to go, he would go.
Yeah, well, okay,
he's always
fair.
Gone with Ian.
That's
with
true.
Because he got that award last year, right?
He would have definitely...
speech.
But
being willing to go is different from wanting to go. I'm also willing to go to this thing, but I don't want to.
Well, Ian doesn't actually want to ever leave New Hampshire for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Ian gets... I don't know. But anyway, so we don't know. But the possibility of going to the Talkers is still open. I don't know. It depends on whether or not I even get permission to do it. And then, what is Long Island, an 8-hour drive?
It's not that far.
It's not? Okay.
No. Well, actually,
it took my little brother, or my little sister and her boyfriend 5 hours to get back to New Jersey from
here. That's so painful, though. Anyway, let's go to the phones because we are a call-in show. 603-283-6160. You can still weigh in with us. We have Footloose on the line from here in New Hampshire. But, Luce, I never followed. How did your trial end up? What was the verdict in that?
So there were technically two charges split into four. There were two alternate theories that either I purposely did XYZ or recklessly did XYZ. The original charge, of course, was for clapping loudly and saying, shut it down. But what they testified to was that Therese said amen, and I said yeah, and that's why they arrested me. So I was found not guilty on the initial arrest. But once I was behind the curtain and in handcuffs, I started to protest my arrest. I said, F this, shut it down, we're being arrested. And the judge found me guilty on purposely clapping loudly and saying those things. But I asked for a motion for reconsideration because I never clapped loudly. I was in handcuffs and nobody tested. So I've been waiting. It's been well over 20 days since I filed for the motion to reconsideration. Nothing from the state. Judge hasn't ruled on it yet. So
also
I'm hoping.
Comes back to that issue of if the initial arrest was wrongful.
Yep.
Then your protest about the wrongful arrest should never have happened.
I mean, none of those things sound like arrestable offenses.
But it
right,
was,
and I mean, you bring up a good point, Ari, because on the three not guilties, there was a small couple sentences written decision on why not guilty. But on the guilty, there's no written decision, and there's rules, there's Court Rule 27A and other Supreme Court precedent that a decision has to be written for transparency and appeals purposes. And so he didn't provide a written decision on the guilty thing, but during his verbal, he immediately found, you know, did the not guilties and found me guilty on the one thing. And he said, I do find that the state had probable cause to arrest you on the initial arrest, but they didn't find you guilty of the initial arrest. So he tried to like, waffle and his whole that's actually like meaningless, and especially if it's not on paper. Yeah, he said it, but you didn't put that on paper. And like you said, how could I be found guilty when the initial arrest was not guilty? It's definitely unlawful.
But there's this thing where you can maybe this is just Massachusetts, because the person who was telling me about this lives in Massachusetts. But I think it's called in limine, like something in limine. And basically, you would get the Supreme Court to basically, of New Hampshire, you would ask them to rule on whether or not the judge was wrong. And I think it's called motion in limine.
They exist, and they exist within the federal system as well. But it was very confusing when my attorney explained to me what they were.
I'll write it down. In limine. I've heard of it. And
that's L-I-M-I-N-E.
I haven't even write that that's what it's called.
That is what it's called.
Okay.
I'm 100% sure of that.
So, Footloose, that's not why you called tonight. So what is on your mind?
So the nap, I've been thinking about it I've always had issues and questions about it, and really it's because I never did any research into it. But last night I heard crazy stuff about you push someone out in front of a bus so they don't get hit. That's violating the nap. Tapping someone on the shoulder is violating the nap. And it just had me, I Googled what is the nap. And from what I looked into, it's based on what's malum in se as opposed to malum ipsum. Malum in se is something that's inherently evil, and malum prohibitum is something that's prohibited due to laws, social norms, and moral systems.
I gotta agree with where I think you're going, because if you listen to the whole episode, you'll hear that at the end, I said, the thing is, we have things called social norms called, you know, we're humans and we're not the same as every other animal because we have the ability to come up with common sense and things like that. And I think that that does come into play with the non-aggression principle. Like, even if you can look up the definition and the word aggression does count for the tapping on someone's shoulder, I know that, I mean, even if that person believes, like, I don't want to be touched and therefore that's aggression, that's the same argument that somebody would say for why you have to wear a mask, because they don't want to be around somebody who doesn't wear a mask.
No, but you're physically touching them, and I've got to stand
they
by what I said yesterday.
You,
touching someone without their scent is literal aggression.
Your breath is actually literally touching them. Your breath is in the same room as them, going to go in their lungs.
I think it's control. Here, because I literally copied it, and it says the non-aggression principle is an ethical and moral principle that prohibits aggression against the persons or property of others. It aims to avoid conflict between individuals by prohibiting behaviors that are malum in se, as opposed to behaviors that are prohibited due to laws, social norms or moral systems.
Yeah, so it explicitly says in there that social norms are irrelevant to the discussion. So I don't think those are relevant.
This is the problem that I have, is that it says social norms or moral systems, which are social norms. And
yeah,
the problem here is that it's circular because the non-aggression principle itself is an ethical or moral principle.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't really care what the Webster's Dictionary says about aggression. To me, aggression is when you violate someone's consent. That's an act of aggression. When you do something to them without their consent, that's an act of aggression.
If somebody told you,
I cannot assume their consent.
If you're making out with somebody and then they start...
You have their implied consent.
That's
in
implied
that
consent. And
yes,
when somebody goes out in public, they are giving implied consent to be breathed on around.
I didn't say that breathing on anyone is a violation of the aggression principle.
It's no different than somebody coming up to you and being like, we're all in a crowd and there's a big crowd of people and someone comes up and maybe it's really loud. There's no, hey, they have to tap you on the shoulder and they say, hey, that's not aggression any more than breathing next to somebody who personally doesn't want to be breathed on is aggression.
I would have to agree with
that. Because if they say, like, I personally don't want to be touched, well, they didn't tell you that.
I don't know. I can't say that tapping somebody on the shoulder is aggression.
I'm not saying it warrants being retaliated against or you should break their wrist or anything like that, but it is literally act of touching them without their consent.
That's where Frank is bringing up comes in. That's what we all agree on, that if somebody has told you... Oh, go ahead.
Right. And I mean, from this thing, it said malum in se. I was like, what the hell?
I don't care about the Latin roots of this, man. Those mean nothing to me.
Malum in se is something that's inherently evil, and there's examples.
Evil is subjective. That conversation is a non-starter with me, man.
And that's where moral... I'm a moral relativist. I'm with you on that. And that's where moral relativity destroys the NAP, because the NAP itself is a moral principle. Okay? So there is... things that many people, you could take a poll on it, is murder inherently evil? Is rape inherently evil? Torture, child abuse,
yeah,
genocide,
I understand. I don't care.
Slavery,
I don't draw
terrorism.
My morality by what the masses agreed. If they did, then I would be a statist.
How are we supposed to determine what the NAP is if it's so subjective? That's what I'm trying to get
at. We don't. Each individual determines that for themselves. That's pretty simple.
That's interesting because, I mean,
that's the only way it could possibly be.
I kind of disagree.
It's incoherent. It's incoherent, then, if anybody decides what the NAP is.
Yes, there's no such thing as objective morality. I'm glad we have agreed on that.
I don't agree with
that.
Bonnie
doesn't agree.
Yeah, we've had whole shows where we've talked about
objective. But that's all Footloose is arguing here, is that, well, how can this be if morality is subjective?
He's saying morality is subjective and it destroys the NAP. I'm saying... I don't believe that morality is objective, and that's why the NAP isn't destroyed. That's what I started saying to Ian from the very beginning of this whole conversation.
Right, that's not what I'm trying to argue here. I'm just saying that it's irrelevant whether morality is subjective or not.
Yeah, because to me, it doesn't, in regards to the NAP, like, to me, the NAP isn't really that subjective because it's pretty, you know, like you need consent before touching someone. If we're talking about that, I mean, that's not really.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, my point is it doesn't matter whether aggression is right or wrong. In my opinion, it's the right thing to do to not commit aggression. Right?
My point
is... If there's a 6-year-old that's about to burn themselves on, like, a furnace or something, is it aggression to stop that?
Why do they always go to that exact example?
Can we actually just not go to an example really fast? Because we've done this all night. But one thing I have to say that is really important about this conversation that I thought of after the conversation yesterday is that... there is a nuance to everything that happens. It's not just like every time you push someone, it's always aggression. Just like if I was to... Okay,
I think it is.
It's not inherently aggression. Say you want to be spanked.
It's
like, that's the thing that just came to my mind.
Sometimes.
Is it aggression for somebody to spank you in bed
because they want you to?
Not even implied. It could be they gave you the consent.
Right.
It's not the act. It's the fact that they didn't want it. And
the
they have to know that you didn't want that. The context is very important.
But
that's why.
I don't think that implying the consent or assuming the consent is okay.
I think it absolutely is.
Maybe in some context it's not minor, but you can't just have sex with a girl and say, oh, I assumed you consented, right?
No, you absolutely have to take into account everything in the situation. Like, if you are claiming that you were raped because the next day you decided you actually didn't want it and you say that, well, he didn't ask me to, like, verbally say I consented, but you
were making out.
You never said anything with like, all this stuff going on.
We need to get away from that example entirely.
Okay, no, it's not, it doesn't have to be verbal.
We need to get away from that entirely.
I think that's a very important thing. Somebody shouldn't go to prison for rape because a girl says
that's
I didn't say
that's not the example I'm trying to make, Bonnie. That's not what I said. Some guy seeing a girl and saying, oh, I want to have sex with her. I assume she consents. And then raping her. And saying, well, I assume she consents. I had my hand
over
her mouth.
Nothing like what I would argue is okay.
That's exactly what I'm pointing out, is that it's not universally true in any particular scenario. Assuming that someone consents to being touched is very, very different from assuming that they're okay with having sex.
But I'm saying that the context has a lot to do with why you would assume that. Like, if somebody's
I was trying to agree with you, but you wouldn't let me get to that point.
I just don't understand why. I just don't think that that was an important point to make then. I'm just trying to say that if somebody's sitting in their house alone and you sneak up behind them and touch them, maybe you could call that aggression. But someone standing in a crowd, you're in public, you know that you may be touched. No one knows you don't like being touched. There's no way to call that aggression.
No one's saying it's morally wrong.
Is it evil?
It doesn't have to do with morality.
It is literally an act of touching them without their consent. That's the definition of aggression.
I don't believe that is aggression.
Hold on. What if you set up a pail of water in a doorway to trick your parents and they open it and it falls on them? Is that violating the non-aggression principle? Is that immoral? Is that an immoral act?
Footloose, you and I already established that we're not even dealing with morality at this point. We're just dealing with the principle and people choosing to abide by it. You're trying to find this loophole where, well, it's not technically immoral. That's not the conversation we're having.
Yeah.
The morality of it has nothing to do with it.
I mean, if, like, you drop dead right here and I start doing CPR on you, you didn't consent to that. But, you know, it's like there's so many.
So
like,
it's not aggression.
Well, it could be if Aria was like, no, I didn't want you to, but it's just...
If she had told you before, or she was wearing a bracelet that said, do not resuscitate, and you did it anyway, that's totally aggression, and I agree. But if you didn't know, and the common sense thing would be to think, Aria having a heart attack, she doesn't want to die, and I am able to save her, so I'm going to try, it's not aggression.
Yeah.
I think that's objective and obvious, and I don't think that there's any more, like, argument about it. Like,
I disagree, and I don't think it really matters, because we're never going to get in a situation where someone's like, how dare you touch me? That's aggression, right? We're just having a philosophical discussion. I can't give you the number. We're out of time for tonight. Same time tomorrow, though, freetalklive.com. You can hang out with us online. In the meantime, this freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.